You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's March 19th, 2026, and welcome to episode 176 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning, I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about the game Star Trek Voyager Across the Unknown. But let's start off by taking a look at the news this week. Today's story comes from Andy Robinson at VGC, and in one of the creepiest uses of video game technology so far, NVIDIA this week announced DLSS 5, which they are describing as the next generation of image enhancement technology, and it will be available this fall. It uses AI to alter the visuals of supported games with what they call photoreal lighting and materials. They went on to say that DLSS 5 empowers game developers to deliver a new level of photoreal computer graphics previously only achieved in Hollywood visual effects. Now, let's set aside just for a moment that the race to create the most photorealistic graphics imaginable is the most boring and creatively uninteresting thing that you can do with your video game. That's a given. So they showed off this technology in some video footage and still images. And at first, you know, it all seemed kind of interesting. They showed some of the environments from Starfield, and the enhanced lighting looked kind of neat and created some cool shadow effects. Nothing that really, like, blew my socks off, but, you know, you could see a difference. Things, though, got really weird when they started showing off how this technology looked on character models. Have you ever seen those images on, like, Facebook or Instagram where creepy basement nerds alter video game characters to give them bigger boobs or pouty lips? Yeah, this is basically that. The characters shown from Starfield, and especially the one of Grace from Resident Evil 9, looked like they went through a AI filter specifically designed to make the characters hotter. And it significantly changes the look and feel of the characters. While some developers like Todd Howard came out in support of this new tech, the overwhelming sentiment that I saw online was negative. One after another, people took to social media to trash this new excuse to force AI into games and express their concern about how it completely changes the intent of the artists who make games. Danny O'Dwyer said, "It's like the technology can't help itself but sexualize everything it touches." And concept artist and game developer Jeff Talbot called it a garbage AI filter. We know game publishers and studio heads are going to try and force this kind of junk on us. There's a lot of money tied up in AI, and whether people want it or not, they're going to try and force feed it to us. Hopefully, though, the backlash from both players and the development community will at least give them a bit of pause before shoving it down our throats. Not label myself a Trekkie. I definitely enjoy the franchise. For me, my Star Trek was Next Generation. Picard, Worf, Riker, Q, the Borg, that was when I was really into it. I do have some other general Trek knowledge too. I've seen most of the movies, a little bit of the original series, and some of the other shows from the 90s like Deep Space Nine and Voyager. Star Trek Voyager Across the Unknown is a game for those people that Voyager was their Star Trek. Now, if you're unfamiliar, here are the cliff notes for the show's pilot episode. The USS Voyager, under the command of Captain Janeway, is on a mission to locate a group of rebels called the Maquis, who their security officer has infiltrated. Now, while searching for the ship, the Voyager is hit by a massive energy wave that cripples the ship and flings it 70,000 light years from home. After finding the Maquis, who were also transported to the far-off Delta Quadrant, the two crews combine to try and find their way home. So the game follows along the same plot points of the series, but depending on how you do or what decisions that you make, the stories will play out differently from the episodes of the show, which is a cool idea. Most licensed games either follow the plot of the show or the movie that they're based on, you know, pretty exactly, or they tell a completely separate side story. I don't remember the original plots of the episodes, so those changes aren't necessarily a huge deal for myself, but I think being able to reshape a story that you might already know by heart will be a big pull for those big Voyager fans. So they call this a story-based survival strategy game. And it's kind of broken up into two main components. First, there's the kind of ship management and survival parts. Since Voyager was badly damaged at the beginning of the story, you need to find and then manage resources to rebuild and maintain the ship. You'll fly around the star system, scanning planets and various items that you come across, like abandoned ships, to collect the resources you need for fuel and for materials needed to rebuild. And you can then zoom in to like an ant farm type view of the ship, where you will slowly repair sections like engineering and the medical bay. You'll also be able to micromanage each of these sections, allocating resources and adjusting things to make sure that the ship is running efficiently, like making sure there are enough crew quarters and keeping everybody fed. If you don't keep things running smoothly, the crew's morale can drop, and that can lead to a mutiny. I honestly thought it was really cool just to look around this view of a Starfleet ship and just kind of see how it was all laid out. That was pretty rad. Then there are the away missions. These felt sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure style segment, or probably actually more maybe D&D-like if I knew more about D&D. You choose which characters you want to take along on your missions, and then the story is told through written text and hand-drawn or painted images. Throughout the mission, you will be given choices on how to proceed, you know, which path to take, to act diplomatically or attack, that sort of thing. And depending on which crew members you bring along, you may have different options or advantages in certain situations. Tuvok might be better in a fight, for example, or Neelix can maybe talk his way out of a situation. When you choose which character to use, you'll see a graph showing your odds of success, and then it comes down to basically a dice roll. Success or failure will dictate how the rest of the mission plays out. Also, if you use a crew member for that turn, they'll need to rest on the next turn. So you not only need to think about who you're going to bring along, but when and how to use them successfully. There's a lot to juggle in this game. You got to watch your resources and materials, time, crew morale, And honestly, the majority of the game is it's reading text and it's navigating menus. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's definitely a style of game that won't be everybody's cup of tea. For me, I think it falls into that category of a game that I appreciate a bit more than I actually have fun with. I'm going to keep playing it, you know, for a bit, but I don't know if I'm going to go through like the entire campaign. The game is also a little bit on the, I don't want to say it's a budget game, but you know, it's $35 and it looks like a $35 game. You know, it doesn't look bad at all. It's just not flashy. I think it'll appeal to you if you're into these kind of menu-heavy strategy games. And if you're a big Voyager fan, I think you'll definitely get a kick out of what they're doing. And if you like both of those things, this just might be your game of the year. Such a great theme song. I'm sure I've talked about this on the show before, but stretchy pants are the greatest invention of the 21st century. It's not the iPhone. It's definitely not AI. Stretchy pants. At this point, almost every pair of pants that I own are stretchy. My slacks, my jeans, obviously my comfy pajama pants. They breathe better, they're more comfortable, and they last longer. Here's the thing, though. My son and I have a similar enough pant size that recently my pants will end up with his clothes after the laundry. And he's a teenage boy, so he doesn't say anything like, hey, these aren't my pants. He just wears them and doesn't tell me, and then mine are gone. So this morning, as I was getting ready to work, getting ready for work at 5 a.m., I couldn't find any of my stretchy work pants. They were either in the dirty laundry or they were just missing. So I went to plan B, the non-stretchy pants that sit at the very bottom of the drawer. And what happened? About 4 hours into my day, I was doing something in a storage room and bent over to pick up a box and rip right down the middle, front to back, butt to balls. And I'm in the middle of my workday. I can't have a gaping hole in my slacks. Imagine I'm sitting in a meeting and I turn my chair and all of a sudden it's like a deleted scene from Basic Instinct. Unprofessional. So let this be a lesson to you. Don't let other people take your pants or you may end up with a stiff breeze in your junk drawer. Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you would like to support the show, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.